tonight. And again, thank you for being out and being here and in your place on a Sunday night. And we realize that you could have taken the night off, perhaps, and maybe had a barbecue or something of that nature. So we really appreciate you just allowing us to come and be here and celebrate the 4th of July with you and to celebrate that time together. But more importantly, just to be here to worship with you and to just enjoy the service and get to know some brothers and sisters in Christ. And like it or not, if you're saved, you're going to have to spend eternity with me, so you might as well get to know me now. And I want to get to know you, and I would encourage you to get a chance to rub shoulders with some of these students, as they are a blessing. And I've been super encouraged just getting to hear their personal testimonies and what God has done in their lives to bring them to this point. And can I just say it this way, and I'm so encouraged as I look out and I see so many young faces in the crowd this evening. You know, if we listen to the media for too long, it sounds like the devil has them all. But as I look out and I see the young folks that are here and I look at the college students, guess what? The devil does not have them all. And God is using young people, and he's using you to be a light in your community. And I just want to encourage you to continue to stay faithful to the Lord and continue to just grow in grace and to continue to just press on. And don't quit. And we're going to hear why that's important tonight in regards as we open up God's Word. Well, if you have your Bibles, 2 Chronicles chapter number 7 tonight. 2 Chronicles, there in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. And this will be a very familiar passage of Scripture, no doubt, but I want to look at it tonight in light of the July 4th holiday and in light of our freedoms that we enjoy, and we want to look at this quick verse tonight. But I do want to say, as you're turning there, Pastor, thank you for, again, the privilege of being here, and we've got a small gift to you and to your family after the service is over, and that's on behalf of our pastor, just to say thank you and to say also just continue moving forward and for the Lord. And church family, he's going to plug his ears for just a minute. There is nobody else that you and I should encourage more than the man of God. And if anybody else has a target on their back that's bigger than anyone else in this room, it's the man of God. As the devil tries to discourage him, tries to destroy him, tries to devour him, tries to get him to second-guess decisions that are needing to be made. And if anything about the pandemic taught us something, it's that the man of God carries a weight and a burden in regards to making decisions, whether to stay open, not stay open, whether to do this or to do that, and how to go about it, but yet still obey what God's commanded us to do. And I've seen that firsthand just from our pastor and the burden and the weight that was there, and specifically in California. It doesn't need to be mentioned, but our church was being fined every time our church met. Just because of some of the stipulations, the atheists were watching our internet services, and they were calling us in just to report that we were having services. And our pastor was bearing that burden until that Supreme Court decision that was made to where we didn't have to pay anything because we had a constitutional right to be able to meet. But that's some of the decisions that pastors make, and oftentimes you and I don't realize it. And we don't realize the spiritual battle that they often face. And so I just want to encourage you to be an encouragement to your pastor. And just a thank you note, just a small card, just a, Pastor, can I take you out to eat tonight? Those things mean the world. Yeah, amen, yeah. Those things mean the world to a pastor. And specifically, as you encourage your pastor's family, that encourages him. And he probably would be the first to admit, even though we've just met each other, that he's not perfect. He's going to make mistakes, and be patient with him in that sense. But I would just encourage you that as you encourage your pastor, as you stand behind the man of God, that that helps him and encourages him to even step out in greater faith than maybe he would have done on his own. And so I want to encourage you about that. But Pastor, we do have a small gift for you, and I want to be a blessing to you tonight as well. Well, I trust you found 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. If you did, let me hear you say a hearty hallelujah tonight.
Hallelujah.
All right, that was pretty good for a Sunday night crowd. And I'm from the South. I'll give you just this little side note. I grew up in the South just a little bit there, like I said, from Oklahoma area. And we had a saying about when a preacher gets to really going, if it's something that you agree with or if it's something that you think he ought to maybe press that button just a little bit harder because you need it or somebody next to you needs it, you know what I mean? Instead of saying amen, we had a funny saying. We would say, shake that bush. Now, the reason we would say that is because, preacher, get the rest of that fruit off that tree. Shake that bush. That's what we would do. And so if you want to make me feel at home tonight and you want to say be ready, because the coat might be coming off and we might be getting to going tonight. And but we'll finish early, I promise. All right, so you have your Bibles there, 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. And again, very familiar passage of Scripture. Look with me at just this one verse, verse number 14. The Bible reads, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Tonight I want to preach just a simple message entitled, "What is a Christian's responsibility to their country?" What is a Christian's responsibility to their country? Father, we thank you for this time, and I pray that you'd bless now the preaching of your word. Thank you for the singing. Thank you how it lifted our hearts to you, reminded us, Lord, of our salvation and what it cost for your son to pay our sin debt, but now the freedom that we enjoy because of the cross of Calvary. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us now as I preach. I pray that you give me the wisdom to say only those things that need to be said. I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit. I pray that you'd help each and every one, as many are excited about the things and the events to come tonight. Others might be tired tonight because of the weariness of just the day. But I pray that you'd just, for these next few moments, that you'd put aside the distractions, the cares of life, that you would not allow Satan to snatch away the seed that should be planted tonight. And I pray that you would receive all the honor and glory tonight. Thank you again for what you're going to do. It's in thy son's precious name I ask these things, for he alone is worthy. Amen. What is a Christian's responsibility to their country? Tonight I'm going to take liberty, if you would allow, and simply assume that all of us in the room tonight are Americans. I want to just say on the onset of this message, I am proud to be an American. I am proud and I am thankful for the heritage in which I have been given and which has been entrusted into my care as just a young man. If you're in the room tonight and if you served in the military, the armed forces, let me first say thank you for your service and thank you for your sacrifice and thank you for preserving the freedom that I now enjoy to be able to even stand before you tonight without the fear of persecution. But my friends, even though I am proud to be an American, I realize that America is not without her faults and not without her failures. And I also understand this. I am fearful for the America that my 6-year-old and 8-year-old might inherit in just the coming years. I'm fearful for it. It didn't take very much for the pandemic to show us who was ready to stand up and take hold of the freedoms that they were given and who was willing to just lay down and just let them pass on by. It's amazing to think of how just something just that simple could close down the churches of America and begin to see fines being imposed upon Americans. I just want to just challenge you and encourage you, because I need your help, because I want to hopefully pass on to my kids and hopefully to my grandkids the same type of America that I was given. But it's not going to happen if I sit by idly and do nothing. It's not going to happen if I just don't decide to enlist some help, because I can only make a small difference. But together, collectively, we can make a much bigger difference. And I want to encourage you, and I want to enlist your help tonight, that we do have a responsibility as Christians to our nation. And I want you to see it from our passage of Scripture tonight. You know, it wasn't but very long ago, our forefathers, specifically Abraham Lincoln, was asked, in regards to the Civil War, if he thought God was on their side. And Abraham simply said these words. He said, "Do you think God is on our side?" He said, "My friend, my concern is that we are on God's side." It was Ronald Reagan who said it this way in a speech in 1986. Again, this was the President of the United States who said this: "To preserve our blessed land, we must look to God. It is time to realize that we need God more than He needs us." I loved it the way that your pastor said it tonight. It ought to be said, "America bless God," rather than "God bless America." Because God has been blessing America, and America has been turning its back against God. Why? Because of the prosperity, and why would we need God? And that's exactly what we find happening in our passage of Scripture tonight. Let me give you just a quick background, and then I'll give you just a couple of thoughts, and we'll be on our way tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter chapter number 7, I understand it was written to the Jewish people. I realize it was written to the Israelites. I realize it was written to their nation. And here it was on the heels of the temple dedication. Remember the temple that David wanted to build, and so he continued to raise the funds for it because he was told he was not going to be able to build that temple. Instead, his son Solomon would build the temple. Solomon has now built that temple. It's a magnificent a structure. A lot of work has gone into it. A lot of money, obviously, was spent on it. It was magnificent. It was immaculate. It was amazing. And here, they have just gone through this great celebration. They have offered sacrifice. They have sang praises unto God. And in verse number 12, God then comes to Solomon that night and speaks to him. And he says this in verse number 12, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice." And then I almost picture God putting a but right in here, kind of that conjunction. He says, I have chosen this house to be a house of sacrifice, or to be the place where I will take up residence here as God's people, or as God to your people. And but then I can see him putting a conjunction here, but. And the reason he's putting this in there is because God knows the frailty of man. Newsflash to you. God already knows all your faults and failures and your mistakes. And yet God still loves every one of us. God puts this disclaimer in there, even though it was a great sacrifice, even though there was great prosperity, even though there was great unity in the land of Israel as Solomon was king and God was blessing their nation, God just kind of throws this in the middle of all the celebration because God knew that they would eventually turn their hearts away from him because they would begin to expect the blessings. They would begin to be entitled of the blessings and they would begin to forget where their blessings came from. And my friend, if you look around, I think America's kind of getting to that place tonight where we have forgotten who was our country was founded, and we're trying to erase God's name. We're trying to take in God we trust off of our money. We're trying to take one nation under God. We're trying to take that out of our pledge. We're trying to erase the memorials in Washington, D.C. to reflect anything about God because we think we somehow have done all of this on our own, and we forgot that it was God. That's exactly where God was kind of foreshadowing for the children of Israel. And so in the midst of this celebration, he says, can I just say it this way? But, kind of like, if you should ever turn against me, then there will be judgment that will come. Look at verse number 13, excuse me. God then says to Solomon, I've chosen this house, verse number 12, but, verse number 13, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. If you turn your back on me, therefore, I'm going to have to send judgment. How many of you are moms and dads, and you maybe had kids, and you told them, here's what I expect. If the kid didn't do what you expected, judgment fell, right? That's what God's saying, and judgment's going to fall. But then God gives the remedy right here. God gives the responsibility for the children of Israel. He says, if I ever lift my hand off of you because you turn your back on me, then I want you to know I am still a God of holiness. I am still a God of righteousness. I am still a God of judgment. But I am also a God of mercy. And all God's people said, amen. Because aren't you thankful for the mercy that you've received? And that's exactly what he points to in verse number 14. And I want you to see this quickly because I believe though this passage is obviously applying and speaking directly to the nation of Israel, I believe you and I can learn some principles right from this verse ourselves in regards to what our responsibility is to our nation here in America. And I believe just on the onset here, it's 4th of July, I believe more than just being patriotic, we have a greater responsibility. I believe more than just voting, we have a greater responsibility. I believe more than just standing on the right side of issues in our land as they come up, that even though those things are important and we as Americans should be patriotic, we should wave the red, white, and blue. We as Americans should vote, and that's a right that we've been given and an opportunity and a freedom to let our voice be heard. And we should pick which side of the aisle we stand on based on the issues according to God's word. Those are great and those are good. But tonight, can I share with you a greater responsibility that you have to your nation? You have a greater responsibility. I want you to see it. We'll be done. I see, first of all, it's a personal responsibility. It's a personal responsibility. Look at verse number 14. If my people, which are called by my name, God is signifying that he's talking to a specific group of people, and he's not talking to the Gentile nations at that point in time. He's talking to his people, the people that name the name of Christ. He's talking, can I just say it tonight? He's talking to you and he's talking to me. He's not saying if the White House gets right. That's not what he's saying tonight. He's not saying if the State House would get right. That's not what he's saying tonight. He's saying it's God's house. It's God's people that need to get right tonight. It's a personal responsibility. It starts with you and it starts with me. Hey, I live in California. There's a reason why a lot of conservative Californians are moving to South Dakota. Because they're losing hope for their nation. They're losing hope for their state because they want to just complain about everything that the government is doing. They want to complain about what the president is doing. Instead of taking personal responsibility, they're just pointing out the flaws instead of taking ownership. But tonight I want you to see from this passage that if you and I have a responsibility, and it's a personal responsibility, hey, I can't make the decision for you. You can't make the decision for me. So I've got to make the decision for myself. You've got to make the decision for yourself because it's a personal responsibility. Well, what is that responsibility? I know you're on the edge of your seat. You want to hear it. That personal responsibility tonight is a prayerful repentance. Look at the rest of the verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall, here's a couple of things we need to do. Humble themselves. That's hard to do. That's hard to do. Why? Because we are naturally prideful people. But I'm reminded in the book of Philippians that Jesus made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself and he became a servant and he went to the cross of Calvary. Why? For your sins and for mine. He could have called 10,000 angels. They could have rescued him from the cross. He could have had a different plan, but yet he humbled himself. Why? Because he wanted to show you and I how to be humble, because too often we walk around with a big I in our life and a little I in our life. Pride tonight is destroying America. It's because we think it's somebody else's fault that we deserve more, and it's not my responsibility. But God said if your responsibility is to humble yourself, to admit that you can't do it on your own, and that's what the next part then says, to humble ourselves and to seek him, to seek his face, to seek him. Man, that means I have to really admit that I can't do it on my own, that I can't pull myself up by my bootstraps and just make something happen. That means I'm going to have to ask for a higher power. That means I'm going to have to admit my weakness, and I'm going to have to ask somebody to help me. And it says here that we are to humble ourselves, to seek his face, and we are to, don't say this one, turn from our wicked ways. I'm not going to stand here and call out anybody's sin. That's not the point of the message tonight, because we all have our sin, don't we? We all have our closet that we hope nobody ever looks in, or our junk drawer that we always keep locked tight, and we are the only ones that keep the key, and we hope that nobody ever figures that out or finds that out. But God says that you've got a responsibility to your country, and that is to humble yourselves, that's to seek God's face, and that's to get right with God by turning away from your sin. That's going to happen in seeking his face, and that's what the Bible tells us. And so can I just be very honest and be very quick with the message tonight? Your personal responsibility to your country is to be right with God. To walk out of these doors more in love with Jesus than when you first walked in. But the only way that's going to happen tonight is if you humble yourself. As you seek his face, as you turn from your wicked ways, you pray and ask for God's forgiveness and ask for God's help, because we all need God's help tonight. Your responsibility to your nation is not just to be patriotic. Your responsibility to your nation is not just to vote or stand on the right side of the issue. Your responsibility tonight is to burn as a bright light for the cause of Christ. And too many of us are like us. We're not following this passage of Scripture by turning from our wicked ways, seeking God's face, and humbling ourselves. You want to change America? Start with you. It's got to be a personal responsibility. It's not pointing fingers at somebody else. It's, as the old song said, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Let me ask you this by way of just a simple illustration. I promise, we're very close to being done. Let's just say, because I'm getting to know you tonight, and let's just say that I were to ask you just kind of, hey, can I ask you, where are you in your personal walk with the Lord tonight? Let's just say that I brought you up here tonight. I won't do this. I understand. I won't do this. But you are in your relationship right now tonight with God. Most of us, we probably would not stand over here because, I mean, I want to be a little bit humble. I mean, I've got areas of improvement, no doubt, so I'm not going to stand over there. So, I'm definitely not standing over there because what would people think? I mean, they might think I'm a sinner still or something, you know? So I'm not going to stand over there, man. That's the pride and, you know, kind of coming in there a little bit. So most of us, we would probably kind of stand maybe, I don't know, where might you stand? Maybe right about here, right? So we're neither hot nor cold. What are we? What kind of impact are we going to make as lukewarm Christians? You wonder why America is going the direction it's going. It's because American Christians are neither hot nor cold. They're lukewarm. Tonight, I want to challenge you. Stop being lukewarm. Get on fire for God. Remember when you first got saved? Remember how exciting church was? Remember reading your Bible, how exciting that was? Remember sharing Christ with other people? You couldn't wait to tell somebody what happened. Did God leave or did you move? Tonight I see just very quickly it's a personal responsibility, and that responsibility is that we be thoroughly right with God. Let me give you the awesome part about it though. I see not only this personal responsibility, this prayerful repentance, but lastly I see a powerful response. That powerful response is as you and I get right with God, the Bible tells us that if we do our part, look at the verse again. The first part says is our responsibility. If you do this, if my people, but then look at the last part, then God will do his part. What is his part? Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I realize that America is not a big player in prophecy as it comes down the road. I understand that. But you know what? I think of Abraham and I think of how he was even bartering with God in regards to Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember that story? If he said, Lord, would you spare it if there was just 50 righteous? Would you spare it if there was just but 40 righteous? I wonder if God would spare it for just this many righteous in the room this evening. I wonder if God would spare America at least for another few years or few months. I don't know God's timetable. But I know his return is coming soon. But I wonder if Jesus could turn the world upside down with just 12, I wonder what we could do with this many. But it's not going to happen if we're living as lukewarm Christians tonight. What is a Christian's responsibility to their nation? It's very simple. Be thoroughly right with God. Be thoroughly right with him. We need to stop playing games with the God, don't we? And I want to challenge you tonight. I personally would really appreciate your help because I want to give my kids opportunities to enjoy the same freedoms you and I enjoy. But if you and I don't start standing up and start doing something with the faith that's been delivered to us, if we don't start living as lights in a darkened world, then we're not going to have the same freedoms that we've enjoyed. They're going to be taken from us. And it might be sooner rather than later if we choose to do nothing. So tonight, the challenge is simple. Your responsibility to your nation is to live as a Christian and walk as close to him as you possibly can. Leave the results up to God. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of being in your house. I pray something said tonight was of a help and is a blessing. Thank you for just the good attention from the people tonight, and I pray again that, Lord, that you would bless as we celebrate our Independence Day here in America. But Lord, more importantly, as the brother prayed tonight, we thank you for the freedom and the independence that we have from the bondage of sin. But Lord, how quickly we are yoked back into our own sin. How quickly, as the Bible says, that the pig returns back to its mud and to its mess. And Lord, sometimes that's what we do. We get right with you, then we go back, and we see that time and time again. But Lord, I pray that by your Spirit and by your strength and by your leading and your grace that you'd help us to just continue to push forward and that we would, as the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I pray that you'd help us to do that tonight. Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray that before they leave this place, that, Lord, that they would not get right with you by way of an attitude or something tonight or whatever, but, Lord, that they would get right with you by accepting you as their Lord and Savior, and they would be restored, redeemed back unto yourself. But, Lord, if there's others here tonight, and they maybe know that they've been playing a game, or maybe they looked at that simple illustration and they would put themselves a little bit farther down the line towards the cold, I pray, Lord, that tonight they would get back to where they ought to be. And Lord, I pray that you'd give them grace and give them help. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for this wonderful day. And I pray all these things in thy son's precious name. Before I say amen, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask the pastor to come and conclude the service or the invitation as he sees fit.
Would there be anybody that can't say right now that if you died right now, you'd be in heaven? Maybe you heard something tonight or you've heard it earlier and you're wondering about your own salvation. You don't know if you were to die tonight, you'd be in heaven. Would there be anybody like that? If there is, while we're still sitting here with our heads bowed, would you maybe look up at me and say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. If I know Christ as my Savior. Is there anybody like that? And then assuming that most everyone in the room is a Christian, maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart about something and you need to talk to Him. Maybe it was this morning in the message or tonight's sermon or something else, but you need to talk to God. Just in this quietness, no piano playing or anything, if you need to get on your knees and talk to the Lord about something or just there in your chair, let's take the time to pray to Him tonight. You need to come forward, do that. My people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. Thank you for our country. We thank you for the heritage. We thank you for the roots of American heritage. We thank you for freedoms that we're so accustomed to, we don't even understand how it comes. Help us to realize that everything we have, every freedom we enjoy, was paid for by somebody. And of course, your salvation is a freedom that you paid for. Lord, help us to use this freedom that we still have to rescue others who are in bondage. Help us to be humble servants. Not to be proud Americans, but humble servants. Lord, help us to be humble people before you, winning the lost, reaching this world. May you be the number one in our life, and may we be closer to the right side of the meter than the wrong. Help us not to be lukewarm. You're sick of lukewarm. Help us to be right with you tonight in our lives and every day. Thank you for the message. Thank you for the reminders and song as well. Thank you for who you are, and you are worthy, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're welcome to stay if you'd like, but especially the young people, please stay. And I'll turn it over to the young people from the college here, and they'll be speaking to you a little bit, and we'll give the...